Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
It's Monday morning, and that means it's time to check out what's on the agenda for the week ahead. We're joined by Chrystia Freeland, Global Editor-at-Large of Reuters. Good morning, Chrystia.
Good morning.
And Charlie Herman, Economics Editor for The Takeaway and WNYC, our flagship station. Charlie, hello.
Good morning.
So, your word, your phrase that sums up what we should be watching out for this week, Charlie.
I'm thinking it's that game, Let's Make a Deal, where you have three different doors that you have to sort of choose from. And
right.
The doors here would either be the continuing, the government shutdown, these massive budget cuts that the Republicans want to put through, or the worry about rising gasoline prices.
And Chrystia, what's your word, your phrase that sums up what you think we should be watching out for?
Very much in the same vein as Charlie, although I have to say a little bit less amusing. I would say endgame, thinking about Washington, thinking about the showdown in Madison, Wisconsin, and much more tragically, what's happening in Libya.
So let's start in the Middle East. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton is traveling to Switzerland today to come up with a resolution to the political unrest in Libya. So Senator John McCain expressed what he'd like to have answered on NBC's Meet the Press yesterday.
Gaddafi's days are numbered. The question is how many, and how many people are going to be massacred before he leaves one way or the other.
So, Chrystia, there were sanctions cooked up by the United Nations this weekend for Libya. How much do you think the response from the international community, how much will that impact on Gaddafi's regime? Not just him,
sanctions,
but his...
I think sanctions will do very, very little.
Right.
I think that McCain actually, although his political instincts haven't looked very good on a lot of issues recently, I think he's absolutely right on Libya. And it's one of those situations where the United States is, you know, really, I think, humbled by Afghanistan and Iraq. But I think the way to be thinking about Libya is much more comparisons to Bosnia and Sarajevo and the sort of moment where, you know, for years and years, countries will be regretting not stepping in to help a people, you know, which is being massacred by its government.
Now, you don't get to be global editor at large of Reuters without me asking you some very tough questions. So how about in terms of being in power by the end of this week? What do you think his prospects are?
I'm going to shamelessly dodge that question. I think, remember Leon Panetta testifying before Congress that Mubarak was going to be gone by the end of the day and how idiotic he looked when that didn't happen?
Right.
So I think it's really hard to predict, but where I do think that McCain was absolutely correct was, this is really the moment, you know, the end game here is for Western governments, which have been really, really behind the curve in these events in the Middle East and in Libya now. This is a moment when you're going to have to choose sides. Sanctions, I think, are almost meaningless. But I think things like, you know, do you create a no-fly zone? That sort of thing. I wish Richard Holbrooke were around.
Let me just bring in Charlie here, because Charlie, with Egypt, with Bahrain, with Libya, there's a connection between what's happening politically and what's happening economically. How much do you think the impact of what's happening in Libya will affect, say, for instance, oil prices? That's the most obvious link.
Yeah, I mean, and a lot of people are talking about that what you see in oil trading near $100, that the turmoil in Libya is basically baked in. The worries about Libya is in that price already. The worry, of course, is that if it spreads to other oil-producing countries, in particular Saudi Arabia, is the big worry. And I think that's what you're sort of seeing, a bit of fear in oil prices. They are going up. There's a lot of statistics that you start hearing about. For every dollar increase in the price of oil, it'll cost consumers $1 billion a year in money that they won't be spending elsewhere, that they'll be spending on gas prices. So, you know, if people look in Libya and think, well, why do I care here in the U.S.? Because it's having a direct impact on their ability to spend money. It's having a direct impact on the economy, and clearly will have a big impact on the policies of both the Republicans and the Democrats. These higher gas prices will pretty much start wiping out any benefit that a lot of people will get from the payroll holiday tax that was put through as part of a deal back in December to extend the Bush tax cuts.
And here at home, we have a couple of economic indicators coming out this week. And we're looking at job numbers
on Friday. They come out on Friday. Right. The thought will be that these numbers will be pretty good, maybe 180,000 jobs created. There was not a very good report last month, partially because of the weather. So that's one people will be paying attention to. We also get auto sales tomorrow, expected to be a big surge there, showing consumer spending. But again, the worry is that if gas prices go high, do people hold off on buying cars? Are they only looking for those cars that are highly fuel efficient? And then finally, we have the Federal Reserve Chairman. He'll be on Capitol Hill giving a semi-annual testimony. And that would be interesting because I'm sure he'll be asked a lot of questions about oil and what that could do to economic growth, as well as the deficit and all this talk about a government shutdown.
Got to get to budget because this is Todd's speciality here. Threats of a government shutdown Friday continue as Democrats and Republicans try to come up with a resolution to the U.S. budget. So here's President Obama addressing the issue in his weekly address.
Congress will focus on a short-term budget. For the sake of our people and our economy, we cannot allow gridlock to prevail. Both Democratic and Republican leaders in the House and Senate have said they believe it's important to keep the government running while we work together on a plan to reduce our long-term deficit. Given that, I urge and expect them to find common ground so we can accelerate and not impede economic growth.
Charlie, how do you see this unfolding?
Well, there's a lot of talk now that there will be an extension to the continuing resolution and maybe another 2 weeks to try and work something out. But it's still unclear where exactly this will go in terms of the budget cuts that the Republicans are proposing and what the Democrats will be willing to accept.
Todd, what's your inside knowledge on this one?
Well, just what Charlie said, basically there is a deal in the works that would cut $4 billion right now, but that's only a two-week reprieve, you guys.
So we're right back to where we started.
Right. They might get around a shutdown this Friday and not have one, but Charlie's right. We're right back where we started because there's a lot of money and a lot of ideology tied up in the rest of that continuing resolution, and the sides are far apart still.
Let me just wrap up very quickly with a story that dominated the takeaway last week, and that's the Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker. He's holding his stance, although pro-union protesters are still protesting about his ability to squash the anti-union legislation on the floor of the state Senate. Christian, just very quickly, both sides don't seem to be wavering on this. What's your prediction?
Well, I can suggest the most important read of the day, which is an op-ed by Mike Bloomberg in the New York Times, in which actually he comes down in the middle, not surprising, but more leaning towards the unions and really quite critical of Governor Walker for his tough effort to limit collective bargaining.
All right.
I think that could have a big impact on the debate.
Thank you very much. Christian Friedler, freelance global editor at large of Reuters, and Charlie Herman, the economics editor of The Takeaway. Thank you both very much.
Thank you.